All right, turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. I'm going to pray before I start. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the great teacher, that you're the helper, you're the counselor, and you're the one that has all things in your name. You're the one that we turn to, Lord. You're the one that brings the truth. So, Father, I yield myself to you. I thank you for truth today to come forth as never before, or same as before, and even greater. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Matthew 22, verse 34. I'm going to read this passage to start out. And we're going to look a little bit more today at the love of the Father and the love of God. We looked at it last week, that the love of God that flows in us is to what? Forgive and pray what? For our enemies. That was the first thing you realize. It's one of the first things Jesus said about prayer. He said to pray for your enemy. Amen. To do them what? To do good. To bless them. Father, I bless them. And Lord, is there anything I can do to do them good? That means when you see them, you might not want to walk across to the other side of the street, but at least say hi. How you doing, right? Hello, it's okay. Because we bless. We forgive. We do good. And we pray for our enemies. And this week, I want us to take a look here at this verse first, and then we're going to go into some more things on some of the characteristics of the love of God. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus answered unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here we see the great commandment that God has given us, not the great commission, but the great commandment. I know the great commission is to go in all the world, but the great commandment is what compels us. It's what gives us the desire to go into all the world, because it's the love that we have for God and the love that we have for fellow man. Now, number one, the first part he said, this is the first and great commandment right here. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, with all our mind. Now, we don't have so much trouble with that, do we? We all love God. You know, there's a lot of people that love God. They don't have any trouble loving God. Why? He's perfect. He's merciful. Amen. And you can't see him in this life. You can't see him. You sense him. You know he's there. He comes and makes his home in us, but he's in a different realm. And because God's so good and loving and kind and great, you know, most of us, we don't have trouble saying, hey, I love God. I know God's good. It's that neighbor thing we got trouble with. He said, the second is like it. What? Love thy neighbor as yourself. And the more we love God, the more we're going to love our neighbor. The more we love one another, the more we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to pray for our enemy. We're going to see those things take place. Hallelujah. And so there are some things that are important. We said last week, Romans 5:5, the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our heart, in our spirit, by the Holy Ghost. So the love of God is in there. But we have to allow it to come forward. How many know that the love of God is a fruit of your reborn human spirit? We're not talking about the love of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the love of God, which is in you. It's in your spirit. It belongs to you. It is one of the fruits that God placed on the inside of you. And that fruit can grow and mature as we exercise and as we meditate on loving one another. You know, sometimes we do love each other. I'm not saying we don't. But a lot of times, do we take time to really think about it? And do we really understand what the love of God is? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. It's the last verse. The first thing I want us to look at in some of these characteristics of the love of God. What does it look like? How do I know, Pastor Dove, that I'm walking in love? Do you understand? When you walk in the love of God, you're walking in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we like to think, well, he's in the Spirit. You know, he's just kind of sort of fuzzy and out there, and he's in the Spirit. But walking in love is walking in the Spirit. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you get on your knees and you lift your hands and you say, Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. Where does that come from? It comes from your inner man. It comes from our spiritual being. God cannot love himself for you. He needs you to love him. It is the one thing we can give our Father. We can give him worship. We can give him praise. And we have to do it because he can't do it for us. The Holy Spirit will come along and he'll guide you and he'll help you, but he can't do it for you. You still have to make the choice. And you can say, Father, I don't have anything to give you, but there is one thing. We can give him praise. We can give him worship. We can give him honor. We can love him because of who he is. We were singing about it. God, he's so good. He's so good to us. Amen. His mercy is great. Do we think about it? It's good. We need to sing the songs. But there's a place where we can go in our private time. We can sit down and just lift our hands and say, Lord, I'm just going to worship you out of my heart, out of my spiritual man. What am I thankful for? Think about it. Make your mind think of what you're saying. Make your mind mean what you're saying. Even if it doesn't feel like I mean it, Lord, I'm going to put all of my being into you, to worshiping you. You said to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all that is within me. I'm going to sit right here, Lord, and I'm going to make my mind quiet down and think on you and say, Lord, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. Whoop. Mind, you get back here. You're not going down the street. You're not thinking about what we're doing in a few minutes, in an hour from now. You're not thinking about going out to lunch. You're not thinking about, come here, mind. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. And I pour everything I am into those statements. Not anything spectacular. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It's I love you. I glorify you. I worship you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you that I'm born again. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And make our mind worship our Lord, because he's worthy. You see, worship, that's how you still that mind. That's how we get it still. That's how we begin to know, I love God, by a choice that we make. And then as we enter in, sometimes it feels like nothing's happening. Sometimes you may not feel anything in your flesh, but it is coming right up out of your spirit. You are in the Spirit. As much as when people start rejoicing and dancing and getting all excited because the Holy Ghost is on them. You're just worshiping from within. And if you'll stay in there long enough, he'll come on you. If you'll stay in there consistently, he'll come on you. And you'll take him with you. Because see, what you're doing is you are creating that reservoir of the love of the Father in your spiritual man. It is becoming, it's like a pond in there. You are a container of the love of God. He said it was shed abroad, what? In your heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, how are we going to stir that love up? Well, one way is to love on God. Why? Because it's his love that he put in there. It's greater than our love. It's greater than what we can do. In the natural man, we can't do it. You know, you can only love so much in the natural. Yes, people love, but it's kind of a selfish love. Well, that's my wife. That's my children. Those are mine. And yes, you have a responsibility, and yes, that's good. But the love of God goes beyond. And it says, I love my enemy. I pray for them. I bless them. And here we see in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, really. It's agape is the word in the Greek and should be translated love. Charity is very limited. That's a benevolent act. How many know that? A benevolent goodwill towards someone or love for humanity. You know what? We could go out and we can have, you know, we see all kinds of people that are compassionate, you know. They do a benevolent act or they got some love for humanity. Those are great and wonderful, but if we don't preach the gospel with it, then what are we doing? We're making their road to hell a little easier. Ooh, man. I mean, we don't think about it all the time, and it's good to do those things, and there's some good organizations. But how many know if they don't receive Jesus, what did they get? They got an extra hand to help you slide right down, make your life a little easier so you can what? Wind up not knowing God. I remember my dentist. He said, I will not go. He would go a lot of places. But he said, I will not go if we don't preach Jesus. He was a dentist, and he'd go out and give free dental care to many people, Africa, India, different countries. When, different times of the year, he would be gone. He said, I'll be gone a couple weeks. So, and praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But it's to bring people into the kingdom. Amen. So now abideth what? Faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, agape, the God kind of love. There's a difference between the human natural love and the agape of God that's down on the inside of you. That God kind of love. Why is love greater than, it says here, hereby it, the greatest of these is love. Why is love greater than hope or faith? Have you ever thought about it? Why is it greater? Well, number one, faith won't work without love. Faith does not work without love. In other words, faith is dependent upon love in order to work. It is dependent upon it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Who knows what it says? Probably all of us. We've probably heard that before. But it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love, the love of God. So, I'm not saying people can't get some things, but if you develop in love, you can also develop in your faith at the same time. your faith will be greater. You said, well, why? Because faith is dependent upon love. Now, that's one reason. Number two, that's the first thing. Faith works. It's dependent on it. And the second one, we already read it. It works by love. Faith won't work also without hope, will it? How many know? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Anybody know Hebrews 11:1? What? Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. You have to hope for something before faith can give substance to it. Amen? You got to have hope. So love is greater than faith and hope. Hallelujah. It's good anyway. Hebrews 11:1. But let's go back up and move up a little bit here in this 1 Corinthians 13. I want to go through this chapter a little bit. We're going to look at some of these characteristics. I was just sharing that because I think it's interesting to note and to realize if this love is greater than faith and hope, that it must be important. We must have to understand, what is it? What does it look like? How does it act? What does it do? How do I get it working through me so that it affects you and affects other people around us? It affects my wife. It affects people. It affects all of us. It affects my neighbor. It affects everybody around me. Why? Because love has things and characteristics, the God kind of love, that's different than human love. Human love says, you did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. Right? Or, you did me good, you love me, I'll love you. You didn't love me, so I'm going to get you. That's human love. It's fickle. It can change on a dime. It can turn into hatred overnight. But the love of God's different, amen? This is the God kind of love. This is a different kind of love. Well, anyway, let's look here in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, or love in action, I don't have that kind of love, the God kind of love, the agape of God, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not the love, the agape of God, it profits me nothing. So there you go. We were already talking about that a little bit. We can give, we can bless, we can help people, but it says unless we have the love of God. See, the God kind of love is agape. It's unconditional. In other words, we say the unconditional love of God. There's no condition on it, none. God doesn't have a condition. He is love. He can't stop loving. He will never stop loving. He can't not love you. It doesn't mean He approves of everything that you do, but He has to love you because He has chosen to. And it's who He is. He is a Father that loves us in our worst state, in our worst condition, in your worst mistake. His love will comfort you. His love will come to you. He is way more merciful than we give Him credit many times. He's merciful to people. He's merciful to nations. He's merciful. And His mercy endures forever, the Bible says. And that is part of His love. But anyway, He says, I will bestow my goods. Though I bestow all my good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have the love of God, it's not going to profit me. You know, if you're not born again, you don't have the love of God. The Bible says that's how we know we have love for the brethren. We begin to love the brethren. He said, he that doesn't know God, he doesn't have God. Love of God's not in him. And they can't really understand. Even if all the gifts of the Spirit are manifested through us, and we don't know the love of God, it doesn't profit us anything. You said, well, how can they manifest and not have love? Because God is merciful. Because God's good. And unfortunately, sometimes it's all he's got to work with. Sorry to say. I'm not saying it is, and I know you love. You said, well, I'm available. Yeah. And in the past, during revivals, how many know? Some of the preachers were some of the worst people around. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one particular man, and he was, I mean, not just overweight, but he was really fat. And he'd pray for people, and I mean, he'd hurt them. Just didn't care. I mean, yeah, God healed them, but I mean, you know, they were just different things. And then he didn't walk in love toward his fellow ministers and said, I'm going to build. He was very popular. He said, I'm going to bring my tent here and I'm going to start a church. I'm going to take all your people from you. And he did. But there's something, see, that happens when we do not judge ourselves concerning the love of God. He got himself in trouble. And the third thing, he didn't judge himself concerning money. He just, you know, have a miracle, take up an offering. You know what that does to people when they see that? They're in an emotional state. They're excited. They're there. They give. They start throwing money at you. And he did not judge himself in the area of money. So three areas he did not judge himself. At 38 years old, he was dead. And they were emptying, he was emptying cots, emptying wheelchairs, emptying ambulances, having great and astounding miracles because of the call of God that was on his life, and God did it, yet it didn't profit him. Yeah, he might have made heaven, but he didn't profit. With the love of God. It didn't profit him one lick. It cost him his life. And in this revival, God's looking for people that are filled with him, that are full of the love of the Father, that are full of the love of God, that are not scoundrels and are not taking advantage of people, that will love him and walk in integrity and holiness and righteousness, yes, toward God and toward their fellow man. That will walk in forgiveness, that will walk in joy, that will walk in honesty, integrity, purity, holiness. It's not going to work. It's not going to work otherwise. God has drawn the line in the sand, and I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit of the living God, get a hold of the love of God. For the love of God. No. Get a hold of the love of God. I was just trying to get things stirred up here a second. But get hold of that love and begin to understand, what is that love look like? How am I able to display the love of God? It's not always easy. Because we all have, what, an outer man and an inner man. And sometimes the outer man doesn't want to do what God has said to do. And we have a choice to make, don't we? We get to choose. Am I going to follow what my outer man's telling me to do and tell him off? Or am I going to forgive? Am I going to let it go? Am I going to extend mercy? Am I going to extend the love of God? So, goes on to say, anyway, we were saying here, we understand that was just one example of how there can be, and we could do certain things for God and see people do things for God, but they really didn't understand or walk in the true love of God for all mankind. I'm not saying they didn't have a certain amount of love. They did. And there was a certain amount displayed, but how many know it was sorely lacking? They were like an infant. Their love fruit was a little sour. It wasn't fully ripe. How many of you ever gotten a ripe piece of fruit off a tree? Anybody? I bet Diana has. She's an old, she probably got one hitchhiking or something. Hey, stop the car, stop the car. I'm going to get me an apple off that tree or whatever it is. We used to have some fruit near our house when I was a kid. It was a plum tree. And I couldn't wait. You could hardly wait. And if you pluck it too ripe, before it's ripe, guess what? It's really sour. forget it. But how many know when it ripens? When that fruit is nice and juicy. And it flows where? Where does that fruit grow? It grows on the branches, doesn't it? Why? Because it was getting sustenance from the vine, the main trunk of the tree. It was going out there, but it's never grown on the trunk. It grows on the tree. And the Bible says that Jesus, what? He is the vine, but we are the branches. So where does the fruit grow? It grows on us. It grows in us. And that fruit of love continues to grow, as we know. But we could understand all mysteries. We can get a bunch of knowledge and wisdom. But if we don't have the love of God, it's not going to profit us. So nothing you do will profit you unless it is done from the motivation of God's love. Amen? How many believe that? That's our motivation. Now the Bible says that it is the love of God that compels us. It's what motivates us. It's what draws us. It's what causes us to do many of those things. But you can see why the love of God is so important and why the Bible says it's greater than what? Hope and faith. Now, John chapter 13:35. And many of you may know what that says. But if you look at John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So that tells me, he says, if you have love one to another, then you could not have love one to another. It is possible not to have it or not to express it. Amen. How many know that's true? Have you expressed love in every situation, every time, to all your friends, all your neighbors, and even your enemies? Now, if you have and you're perfect, please come pray for me. I would like you to help me. I'd like to talk to you. But I'm here to help you. Because there are times, how many know, we can all change. Maybe you deal with that anger. Maybe you deal with the fear. Maybe you deal with other things in your life. But how many know what the Bible says? Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear, what brings a torment? Fear can bring a torment, but perfect love, when we begin to understand the love of the Father, number one, to us, in us, and then what? Through us to our fellow man. We love God first, worship Him, magnify Him, let His love be known to us. I know when I first started worshiping, I was asking the Holy Spirit, help me, and I would, start worshiping an hour or so. But if you'll keep worshiping, you say, well, I don't know if I can. You can. It's just whether or not you make up your mind. And if you get your mind over there and you stay in there long enough, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I've worshiped God for several hours before and people come to my house. What have you been doing? Why? I may not, in my fleshly man or on my outside man so much sense the presence of God, but they sure did. See, sometimes we get used to certain things. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it happens because of where we walk with God. And sometimes we don't realize the progress that we made. Some of you have made great progress from where you were. Most all of us, at least we were born again, but now we're moving and making steps toward Him. It's great. We come and we get great things from corporate worship. But there's something about worshiping You and Jesus alone. Lord, I love You. I'm going to sit here, Lord, whatever it is, 20 minutes, Lord, I'm just going to thank You. Maybe it's one thing. One thing You're thankful for. I'm so thankful to be saved, Jesus. When's the last time You told the Lord how grateful You are that You're born again? You're going to be there forever. You've entered into eternity. Have you ever told Him how grateful You are for being saved? I love You, Jesus. I just want to thank You, Lord. Maybe every emotion is killing You, but You got one thing left. Seems like there's nothing left, Lord. But I'm saved. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. I just want to thank You, Lord, for these next 20 minutes. Lord, I'm just going to thank You that I'm saved. Thank You, Father. I'm so grateful. Maybe that's all you can say. I'm thankful, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. I worship You. I magnify You. I bless that day, Lord. I'm so grateful for the day that I bowed my knee to You. Thank You, Jesus. Because all of us would be somewhere else if we didn't know Him. Amen. Even today. Hallelujah. Well, love defined. If God, the God kind of love so important, we need to define what it is. And you understand, of course, that the God kind of love is not the same as the natural human love. It's the God kind of love. It's different. Natural human love can turn to hatred overnight, but God's love never fails. It will not fail you. That means mama loves you so much, but God loves you so much more. Daddy loves you very much, but God loves you. Your Father God loves you even more. And some people say, well, I didn't have the love of my father or my mother. They passed away. You've got a Father that loves you unconditionally, fully and completely, and will never condemn you, will never reject you, will never leave you. Even if you reject Him, He will not reject you. Now, if you continue, I'm just talking in a moment of haste. Anybody ever done that? I got mad at God before. Didn't do you any good? No. Didn't matter. He kept loving me. I remember I had a friend of mine, and the enemy told him, he says, well, you've committed the unpardonable sin. That's what the enemy was telling him. You've committed the unpardonable sin. And he said, I don't care if I did commit the unpardonable sin. I'm still going to serve God. And, you know, the enemy can come with lies. And he'll trick us and try to make us believe what's not true. God does love you. And sometimes we know it in our mind. We talked about this before, the difference between our mind and our heart, right? When we experience that love. Hallelujah. We'll read that in a minute. But right now, we find God's love defined here in 1 Corinthians 13. Very simple. Let's read from verse 4. Go ahead, go down from 4 to 8. Oops, I'm not in 1 Corinthians. I got to get there. 1 Corinthians 13, let's go back there. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then we may look at it in the Amplified here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we'll prophesy in part, but right now, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Here he's talking about this God kind of love. What does it look like? How does it act? Well, number one here, we got, you know, it doesn't suffer, it suffers long. And you know what that means? To suffer long. That means it takes time. That means it's not short, it's long sometimes, and it seems long. And sometimes it feels very long. And sometimes it is long. But how many ever seen anybody? They're suffering long, but they're making sure you know about it. I'm suffering long, but you know, make sure everybody knows. But the Bible doesn't say that, does it? It says suffer long and. That means there's more to it. Is kind while they're suffering long. Envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me get my Amplified translation here. The first one I have here is love endures long and is patient and kind. Now, as we said, sometimes people are patient. They're suffering, but they're not patient and kind while they're doing it. They suffer long, but we need to be patient and kind. And that's here what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, in the Amplified. It said, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and does not display itself haughtily. Whew, that's a mouthful right there. I mean, you know, there's a verse that, you know, you can work on. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm not going to boast or what? Anybody ever see anybody? What do they talk about? Oh, what? Look at me. Look what I've done. I've done this. I've done that. What have you done? I had a friend like that once. Not a very good friend. Look at all I've done. Look what I have. Look what I've accomplished. What you've done with your life. That's not a good friend, is it? That's not somebody that cares about you. That's somebody that wants to boast and brag on who they are. Forget you. That's the attitude, right? Anybody ever pick up on that? Anybody in here's mother ever talked to you about your attitude before? See, well, you're doing great, but I want to see that attitude change. Drop the attitude. And we know what that means, right? The negative attitude. I know one time I was kind of struggling with the Lord, and I said, Lord, what's wrong? He said, you need to adjust your attitude. I said, oh, okay. So I did. How many know you can adjust your attitude? You can do it pretty quick, especially if mother's after you, right? She's got that fly swatter, that switch, or whatever it is. Hallelujah. And you say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And I said, yes, sir, Father, I will adjust my attitude and do what I'm doing with what? Joy. Kindness. even though I may not like where I am or who I'm with or what they're doing, I'm going to suffer long. Amen. So that's number one. Number two, verse 7 says this, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Hallelujah. Here some people say, I just can't love them anymore. But love can. The love of God. Now, I'm not talking about a place, you know, there's times when, you know, you may be in an abusive situation. That's a little different, see. God doesn't want you abused. It doesn't mean you don't love them, but that doesn't mean you have to stay in that place. When someone's abusive, you come talk to me. We'll help you get out of this situation. Amen. I don't care if it's your husband or your wife. If you're in an abusive situation, it's got to change. And I'm serious about that. I had a real dear cousin who got into that situation, and she was murdered. She married kind of suddenly to this guy she had worked with at the prison that she was a guard at for many years, and she is already retired, great lady. I was really getting to know her a little bit more and really liked her a lot. But Karen got involved with this guy, and he started beating her up and ended up killing her. They were married less than a year. And it's real sad. Those kind of things we don't have to put up with. Amen. You don't have to stay in that kind of situation. We'll do everything we can to help you if you're in that situation. But I'm not talking about, you know, they told you, you know, this or that. But I'm talking about serious things. Amen. Anyway, we hear some people say they just can't love anymore, but love can. God's love can bear up under anything and everything without weakening or coming to an end. Amen? There's no end to the love of God. How many know that? If it's in you, then there's no end to you. You can keep loving. You know, a lot of people say, well, I got the patience of Job. I think we ought to move up higher and take the patience of Jesus. Hallelujah, because it's in there. There's patience in you that Job never thought of having. He wasn't born again. Another characteristic of the love of God is that God's love does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not our own, verse 5. This is verse 5 of the Amplified here. Seeks not her own, the love of God operating in and through us. It's not selfish, is it? Love, it says here. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, is not rude and mannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. See, when we're walking in love, we're actually walking in the Spirit. You're walking out of that reborn human spirit where the love of God was shed abroad in your heart, and that love begins to go to work. You know, I think I've seen more people get saved because of love than anything else. Well, how come you gave your heart to God? They just loved me. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you seek your... I'm going to ask a question, I guess, here. Do you seek your own interest first or put other person's interest first? Putting other people ahead of our own interests is a good rule to follow to see if you're walking in the God kind of love. Are you looking only, you know, it says, I think it's in Philippians, it says, look not only to your own interests. It doesn't mean you can't look to any of your own interests. But it says, look also to the interests of others. Are you only looking to yourself or to your own interests? Or are you looking for the interests of the other person? Are you interested in them being blessed? Too many times believers walk in the natural instead of walking in the Spirit. Have you ever thought about it? We've already said it, but walking in the Spirit is walking in the God kind of love. See, a lot of times we think it's this, he's all under the Spirit. And there is times when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we would say, hey, he's in the Spirit. But, you know, when you walk in love, you are in the Spirit. And that love is full of power. That love is all that God is. And it can make you come to a place where the blessing of God overtakes you because you walk in love. You know, when you walk in love, you don't have to worry about healing so much. Why? You don't have a lot of unforgiveness in your heart. You know, how many know? The Bible says when we're not walking in forgiveness, or we hold offense against someone and we harbor it, it can affect our health, our physical well-being. It can become something that affects us negatively, but it can also affect us what? Positively. Hallelujah. All right. Too many times we do that, but you're never going to believe God fully until we understand and we walk what? In that God kind of love. Because God is love, and the God kind of faith works by that love. We may have some faith, we may get some answers, but we're not going to walk in the fullness of that faith till we really begin to develop and let the love of God flow through us. Amen? And we begin to practice. The flesh wants to... Another characteristic here is that love, this is verse 5 also, of the Amplified, it says, love, God's love in us, pays no attention to an evil done, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pays no account to an evil done, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. The flesh wants to hear something different, but we see love's thermostat. Right here. Are you touchy, fretful, or resentful? Are you always taking account of the evil done to you? This is a divine love gauge. As long as you take account of the evil done to you, you're not walking in love. But as long as you walk in God and the God kind of love and stay full of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to take account of the evil that's done to you. Amen. How many know? Sometimes there's people and the enemy, and he uses people a lot of times, they can do evil to you. Or maybe they're just not doing what's right or what should be. Maybe they're not loving you the way you wanted it to be. They're not giving you what they should. But how many know we can forgive and we can go to our Father, and he'll make it up. He'll make it up to you. He'll love you. He'll accept you. He'll forgive you. He'll release you. He'll heal you. He'll free you. And it doesn't make any difference what man had done. It doesn't make any difference how bad it was. His love can free. God's love is ever ready to bleed the best of every person. Since God is love, that means God is ever ready to believe the best about each one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. And he believes the best about you. Because that's what his love does, and that's what his love looks like. See, really, what it comes down to, in my humble observance here, really, is that God's love, which rests on the inside of us, is really just a servant. We serve one another, the Bible says what? In love. And so really, it's becoming a servant in every situation of our life and beginning to practice, yes, Lord, I hear what you said. I'm to what? Humble myself. I'm to forgive. I'm going to release. I'm not going to pay attention to the wrong that you gave me. Now, many times, don't get me wrong. Anybody in here, you've been sorely tempted. Amen. To get even, right? Or to say something back, or to, and maybe you did lash back. What do we do? 1 John 1:9. What does he say? If we what? Confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And cleanse and say, Lord, I see the devil will tell you, well, you're not walking. No. I'm walking in love now. Thank you, Father. I'm walking in love. See, the love of God and the power of God go hand in hand. Whew. It was good. You know, the Bible says in Chronicles 16:22 and Psalm 105:15 says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And what is he talking about there? It was when David was being chased by the king Saul and he wanted to kill him. He was chasing him down, not just to stop him, to kill him. And what did David say? I will do God's prophet no harm. I will not touch God's anointed. He was anointed king. And I remember he had several times to kill him. And the one time he went in, remember? He went in and cut a little part of his robe off because they told him he could. And he said, I'm sorry. I feel bad about it. I shouldn't have done it. They just wanted him to do it. He could say, hey, I could have killed you. He could have killed him. But he said, I should not touch God's anointed. I should do them no harm. And this is a man that wanted to kill him. Well, who is anointed? We all are, amen? We're all God's children. You're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. All of us, everyone that's in this house is anointed by the presence of God on the inside of them. You are His house. You are His temple. Hallelujah. But that's what he said about David. David said, I should say, about that. That's what he means. It's not about, don't judge me, brother. Do your prophets no harm. No, it's not about us judging whether someone is saying the truth or not. But it's about us recognizing the anointing that's not just on others, but on us. And say, Lord, I'm going to do anyone any harm. Amen. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the Amplified says this, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep on praising and worshiping the Lord no matter what people do to me or say about me. And because I'm endeavoring to walk in the divine law of love, I'm going to keep on enjoying good health and the blessings of God too. How about you? Amen. How many want to walk in more of that love? Are you going to practice a little bit more? You're going to be a little bit more aware. Lord, yes, Father, I extend mercy. I extend love. I extend forgiveness. Lord, I'm not going to be so touchy. I'm not going to be fearful and fretful. Or I'm not going to be resentful. I'm going to allow your love to rise up on the inside of me. And I'm going to follow and walk in the Spirit. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your love, the love that you have given to us and the love that we are able to give to one another. That the love of God, which was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, Lord, will lead us, will guide us, and aid us. And Lord, when we walk in that love, we are walking with you. We are walking in the Spirit, Father. We are following you. And we thank you, Father, that it shall increase and that love shall grow and that love shall compel us, Lord, to do the right things, Father, to follow after you and to love people enough, even, Lord, to share Jesus with them, Father, so they would be free. Oh, we give you all the praise and the glory, Father, for your great love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.